good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, as always, it's always a blessing when I have someone here in the studio. And, you know, Joshua is just like this sweet little teddy bear that you just want to keep in your home. But we've just been chatting. So, Joshua Zuchter, I'm very honored always to have you here.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here, as always. As always for me, too.
It's like this little indigo that just goes and goes and goes and always gets so excited when he's here and when we start talking about some of the stuff. And so I'm sure this evening will be no different. We're going to talk about business and spirituality.
Absolutely.
Cool.
You got it.
Cool. So, well, as we know, the energies have been changing dramatically. And so I guess that's kind of where we're starting.
Yeah, well, these days, I mean, we look at the economy and how things are shifting there in the world, and we look at even people's interests. More people are wondering whether they want to stay working for the companies they're working for. Should they go out on their own? And many people who already have businesses are likely having some struggle or trying to learn how to develop their businesses. So this is a perfect time for this topic, especially because those of you that are listening are likely into spirituality and energy and possibly business as well.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
As Intuitive Soul kind of gets up on the social marketing things that we're on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's so much fun. Okay, so I'm rolling my eyes just a tad, but because it also, as much fun as it is, also requires a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. Twitter. You know, Twitter?
Yeah. Twitter, oh, my. Facebook, LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All that stuff. That takes an enormous amount of time, too.
Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm rarely in it. I'm not even on Twitter yet.
You're not?
I'm not.
You're not tweeting at all?
I'm not tweeting yet. Tweet, tweet. That's my tweet. I'm tweeting right now.
Okay. So let's talk about how, you know, what people should be doing in this time.
Sure. So what I actually brought with me, or what I'd like to speak about, or I think what will be of use, is how to blend in business and spirituality together. Because that is really, I think, the challenge that most people are confronting at this point. Those that have had businesses maybe are not finding fulfillment. They get lost in the day-to-day things. They get lost in the tweeting and the and they're not enjoying themselves. They're doing it because they feel they have to rather than because they truly desire to. And so these are key elements, I think, that people need to keep in mind, that you want to keep in mind if you're thinking of starting a business, if you are already in a business but feel like it's not where you want it to be. And I think maybe we could start off by talking about what spirituality is.
Sure.
Because we all have different beliefs and values and concepts of spirituality, and even what the purpose of business is. And then we bring the two of those together.
Cool.
So to me, spirituality is the experience of connecting with something that is grander or larger than who I think I am. So my name is Joshua Zuchter. I'm called a life coach and an inspirational speaker. But those are just labels and terms that are used to describe what I do. As we know, we are much larger than that. So if you were an extraterrestrial coming to the planet Earth and you look down on the planet and you see all these things moving, you wouldn't necessarily know that these things that we call humans have, well, they would see these outer shells. But if they were to go deeper, they'd find we have emotions, we have creativity, we have thoughts, we have intellect, we have energy, we have all these different levels of our being. And those are just a small number of the elements that make up who we are. So to me, spirituality is exploring that, it's discovering that, it's connecting with our deeper self, and then living through all those layers in a way at one, all at once. And so we've got that, there's the spiritual element. And then there's the business side. So what is business? Business is really just an exchange of some kind of service or product along with some kind of reward for the person who's delivering that service or product. So right now you're offering this. Tell the audience a bit about your work. Now I'm going to interview you for a little
while. Oh, thanks. Okay, cool.
So what do you do outside of Intuitive Soul?
What do I do outside of...
Yeah, what kind of work do you do?
Outside of the radio?
Outside of the radio.
Outside of the radio, I do intuitive counseling.
Okay. Great. So you work one-to-one with people.
Sometimes, right. You know, people think that's just a card reading. Right. So I do tarot.
Do you bring your crystal ball?
No, just okay. just tarot. Okay. Because I've learned to use my intuition on the symbols, and I can connect in. It's a really easy way to connect into somebody's energy.
Absolutely.
It's kind of non-obtrusive.
Right.
And so sometimes that's what people want, and then sometimes they want the actual, you know, to dig deeper and to find out why these patterns continue, and you know what blocks them, and that's kind of my area, because then I go into the clearing work that I do. So usually I'm really good at one, helping people become really clear about what they want, because I find most people, you know, we kind of live through life and we're not really thinking, you know, well, what is it that you want,
right?
And then they'll have these ideas. Well, I want $1 million. It's like, well, no, you don't really want it.
You really want it, exactly.
It's not the money that you want.
Right.
It's what the money will bring you, or what qualities they will, anyway.
Right.
So I'm good at that. It's the clearing work where I work with, you know, to clean up people's energies.
Okay.
And I can do that physically. I can do it in a home. I can do it specifically for a home that's for sale, to help speed up the sale process.
Brilliant.
And businesses.
Okay. So with your work, those are what you offer. So those are the services that you offer for people. The exchange is where then they pay you, hopefully, for your for your time.
Right.
And for effort and energy that you put into it. So that's the exchange. So the way that spirituality and business blend in that way is you are practicing, hopefully, according to your values and your integrity and belief, running through all those layers that we talked about. So you're living your experience through all of that by giving to someone else, and then they're giving to you. So it's a perfect exchange, and we call that law of attraction. So whatever you're charging, they were at some level wanting to pay someone that amount, and then you've got a perfect exchange. In fact, I find I've worked with some artists, and I find the markets that have the greatest challenges with money typically are artists and holistic practitioners. And the irony, I remember when I started my business, and I talk a lot about finding a niche and a target market, and I was trying to do the same thing when I started in 2003, and when I was struggling. And I had spent 3 or 4 days trying to figure out who I was going to work with, who I would promote myself to. And then it dawned on me, holistic practitioners, because that's my background. I started doing Reiki. I had done Reiki and therapeutic touch and Qigong and all these things way back a long time ago. And so I realized that's the perfect group for me. That's who I should market myself to. And then I started doing that, and it turned out none of them could afford my services. And I realized that's not a good group for me to market myself to. And so even though they needed it, and same with artists, and we can probably think of other groups that are very similar. In fact, many of the very empathetic or empathic and helping services are the ones that receive the least in return. So there's an interesting key in that, I think. So when I was working with these artists, we found that the greatest challenge that they had was they didn't understand their own value. They had, and this is one of the keys we're going to talk about actually today. So they didn't comprehend their own value or worth. And as a result, they couldn't even share it with the person who was wanting to give them money.
Right.
I know people who love buying art, not even because they like the art, but because the investment value of the art. And so they don't really care what it looks. It could look like crap, and they'll still want to buy the art because they know the value's there. So they look, and they will not buy something that's under $5,000. So you have a piece of crap, or no, sorry, you have a beautiful, let's say you have a beautiful piece of artwork for $500, and you have a piece of crap looking artwork that's $5,000. They don't care. They're going for the one that's worth $5,000. So it has us starting to think about how that person who's charging 500 is not selling their artwork, and those that are charging 5,000 are selling it, even though people may not see it in the same way.
Right.
So it brings up all these questions of how we perceive life, how we look at life, how law of attraction comes into all of this. So we're going to talk about some of that today.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good?
That sounds great.
All right, let's go into some of these. So the first component of all of this, I think, is the most important one, is that any challenge that we have in our business is a reflection of a challenge we're having in ourselves. So, and for everyone who's listening, the best thing you could do is grab a piece of paper and a pen. All my clients know I do this in almost every single session with my clients. I want you to draw a dot on your page. Okay, so we'll do it. Why not do it while we're here?
Let's do it.
So draw a dot on your page and draw an oval around that dot. And then draw another oval around that oval. So you have what looks like kind of like an target. Omelet or a target. That's right. That I like yours better. It looks like a target. And then draw another dot anywhere in that diagram with a really short line through it. And this is what I would call kind of like an enlightenment principle. So this is taught throughout the East. And this would be this tool, actually, this diagram is something that I use and would be the most powerful tool that I know of that exists that I've ever used. And so the dot in the center, I think, Laurie, you know who this or what this is.
Yes,
but that represents you.
Right.
So you are the center of this universe.
Right.
And this dot, the second dot with the line through it, represents, let's say, a person.
Okay.
So you can name a person. Could represent your finances. So you can maybe draw or write finances next to it. If you want to write more dots in your diagram, you're welcome to do that. And we have an infinite number of dots that represent people that we like, that we don't like, that we connect with, that we don't connect with. They are different areas of our lives, our relationship, our finances, and our business. Mm-hmm. And so all we have to do is look at this and say, well, there's a dot. I'm going to call that my business. And I'm going to ask, what is that reflecting back to me right now? So it's reflecting, I have minus $2.34 in my bank account. I haven't worked with any client. I'm teasing. Although this was where I was in 2002. And so the key is when we look at our business, and even we can write our finances there and ask, what is this reflecting back to us? We see it's reflecting lack. It's reflecting lack of connection. It's reflecting us not having anyone coming to us. It's reflecting no exchange. It's reflecting, five payments late on whatever it is that we're late on. And so the key then is we start asking, well, what is that mirroring back to us about ourselves? And I remember at one point I actually questioned myself as a coach, as a life coach.
Right.
And I recognized, okay, time to do the diagram. So I wrote the diagram out. And I said, what is my practice reflecting back to me about me? And because I was working with some people and they weren't experiencing any profound changes. And I was doubting myself and me as a life coach or in my work.
Right.
And so I instantly was able to clear that by drawing this diagram and saying, what is this reflecting about me? Because now all of a sudden my emphasis was not on my coaching practice. It was back on me in the center.
Mm.
It was as if I reclaimed some of my power instead of putting all my power in my coaching business.
Right.
This is even the same with relationships. So if you've ever been in a really challenging relationship and the relationship ended and you really missed the person, you really wanted to be with them and they weren't there anymore, we could see that if we had you draw this diagram, we could ask you, where is all of your attention going? And the answer would be on the other dot, which represents the other person. When we do that, we give all our power away to the other thing, whether it's a person or a material object. And as a result, we are in a way powerless. And so all you need to do is start bringing your attention back to you, thinking about what you want in life, considering where you are, some of the things you're grateful for. And what that does, is it starts summoning your energy back into you and you become empowered.
Right.
And so that's kind of the neat way that this diagram is so useful. But it's the same with business. So if someone is going through a challenge with their business, where's all of their attention? on their business.
Or on their bank account.
Or on their
Or on their bills.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So then the first thing that we do is we bring them back to them and say, what is this showing you about you? And let's start talking about you. I find that probably in about 99%, it could be 100%, but I'm giving a little bit of leeway there. In about 99.9999% of the cases, the issues have nothing to do with money and have nothing to do with business. They have to do with self.
Hmm. Right, because it's always a reflection of...
Always a reflection. Absolutely. So the nice thing is that that's both a blessing and a curse. The curse is that it means that you have to take responsibility for you and shift you inside you. The blessing is that you can do that.
Right.
That's the beauty behind it. Same in a relationship. Let's say you're in a business relationship. The challenge with having to, there's no way you can change the other person, but you can shift you.
Right.
So we always bring the energy back into ourselves. We look at it, ask what it's reflecting, or what we're feeling inside, what's causing all this inside, and then we shift it. So that, and again, I actually teach this in workshops. We could spend the whole hour just on that key alone, as you called ahead of time, as we talked about before the show. So that would be the first main key in this. And if someone is going through a challenge, what I recommend doing is asking, what is my business reflecting about me? So we could say, what are my finances reflecting? Symptoms are, for example, lack of finance, lack of wealth. I don't have savings. Wealth is not growing. I'm constantly struggling month to month, living month to month. And so the best thing to do is to list those down and then start asking, what is going on inside of you that reflects? So are you constantly only looking in the moment at yourself? Are you planning? If you are a great planner and you follow through on that plan, it's likely that you have savings. It's likely that you have savings, even with a business. I find that, and that's why I added those two things. You're a great planner, but you also follow through on the plan. Mm-hmm. Many people are great planners, but they don't follow through. So that's a strong key in that. So you get the idea. That's it. So it's all reflection.
Right.
So that's the first element. Do you want to go deeper into it? You feel good about
it? So somebody is a great planner. Mm-hmm. They come up with their ideas on what to do. What if the ideas don't manifest?
Mm-hmm. So this now gets to one of our other keys.
Okay.
And that would be the idea that there is always an inflow. That was beautifully done, by the way, Lori. Oh. You flowed right into my second key. There's always an inflow and an outflow. It is inevitable. But what happens in our society, in our culture, is we think, oh God, I had a low this month. And then all of a sudden, all of their energy goes into the fact that there was a low that one month. And the irony behind this is there's always going to be a high month and a low month. You can't have one without the other. And we hope that every month gets higher and higher. But we could always, if we want to, look back and say, well, I had last month was my best month ever, but it was a crappy month compared to this month.
Right. That would be...
Wouldn't that be nice?
Mm-hmm.
So, and, I can say that this, all the things that I teach and that I'm sharing today are ones that I talk about in my coaching work. So everyone who's listening gets the benefit of this, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. And I use this for myself. And I can tell you that in the past year, I've had the best 6 months of my life in terms of career, business, finances, and so on.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's in the media says, mm-hmm. the most challenging time that we've had in the past 50 years.
Right.
And every single one of my business clients has prospered more greatly in the past 8 to 9 months than they had prior to that. Mm-hmm. So, and that is because of what we're talking about today. So
Inflow, outflow.
Inflow, outflow. And so this is the idea behind everything. So we're always going to have some good days and we're going to have some days that are not as good. The key is not to get too attached to the low days. You let the low days, it's like water. You don't, you know, we don't agonize over water coming in and going out on a beach. We just say there it comes and there it flows. So the key is you just let it come in and out, go in and out and ebb and flow. And so you just let it flow as it does. But the really the next key after that then is also maintaining your vision, which includes your focus, your desire. In business, we call it a business plan.
Right.
And so having a business plan, or even you can scrap the business plan, just create a really beautiful vision board if you want. We'll call it a metaphysical business plan. and so having that helps you to maintain your focus on what you're desiring. So when I was going through my challenges with my work, when I start after my first year, I was nearly bankrupt. I was, you know, I think I've may have told the story before, but I always love telling it. and so I had, after a year, I had been on the verge of bankruptcy, been evicted. I was eating peanut butter and jam sandwiches for lunch and dinner for several weeks. And I really hit a really deep, dark moment. And I was able to shift it. And over the next 3 weeks after that moment that I experienced, I had a huge influx of clients, of wealth, and so on and so on, and it continued. Now, I've had ebbs and flows in that cycle as well, but it's constantly been increasing and increasing and increasing. So, and of course, I had a year where it decreased. But again, that's all a part of the ebb and flow of things. And so every time that I looked at the times when things were not flowing, I recognized that there were several elements that I was not engaging, or several keys or principles I was not engaging. And the one that was most prevalent, and that I find with most people is most prevalent, is losing their sense of vision, losing their sense of focus. And when we all drive, we look down the road. We're not looking just right in front of our car.
Right.
And if we did, we'd be in big trouble, because we likely hit all the lovely women walking across the street, you know, or we hit the little dog, you know, we don't want that stuff to happen. So so when we drive, we have our attention down the road with some awareness in front of us. And that is also the best way to drive a business as well. And so that's why all of these elements are really, in a way, spiritually oriented elements that we're infusing into business. It's no different. So anyone out in the world who is, let's say you are thinking of starting a business, or you're in a business and you can think of someone who's the peak in your field, the top person in your field, that person, I guarantee you, has enormous vision and has kept to their vision very clearly. We can think of the top industries in the world. We can think of Bill Gates. I'm sure Bill Gates has had a vision. In fact, he talks about it quite a bit.
Right.
All the prime ministers and presidents of all the countries in the world all have had major vision for what they wanted to create. The wealthiest people, Donald Trump, has had major vision, business plans galore.
Right.
So the key is, when someone is thinking of starting a business, or if you have a business, it's to work and expand on your vision constantly. I love this quote, one of my favorite quotes by Abraham Lincoln, something to the effect of, Abraham Lincoln said, if I had to cut down a tree, I would spend 75% of my time sharpening my axe. So that there's a lot of the time and effort is into the planning, and then the actual action is focused action and takes a lot less effort.
Right.
So the key behind the planning, which may, we could, in other words, could be daydreaming. That's very nice, as long as it's focused daydreaming. we could just live in daydreaming. You know, so daydreaming, it could be creating a vision board. It could be writing out your vision word for word. And then putting it aside and then picking it up the next day, reading it through, looking at it and adding to it. One of the things that I found was, when I created my vision, it was great. I looked at it, read it, put it away. Next day I read it again, and I did that for about a week. And by the end of the week, I was looking at it thinking, well, this is kind of depressing because none of this is occurring yet. So I got a little frustrated with the fact that it hadn't, none of it was manifesting. And so I realized a powerful key at that moment was to keep adding to my vision, to keep adding to it. Because when you add to your vision, you are constantly keeping yourself open to the stream that comes through us of creativity and consciousness and so on. So by adding to your vision, you're almost infusing more of your energy into it all the time. And slowly but surely, you develop this muscle that becomes super strong. And then you have that more constantly or more consistently.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff, isn't it?
It is good stuff.
I know. Mm-hmm. I should write a book on this.
Oh,
I am.
Oh, there you go.
That was so corny. Sorry, everyone. I had to say it. You get to know me. I'm very corny. So those are the first three elements. The next one, which is so connected to what you do and the intuitive work that I do, and that is maintaining your inner connection.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so what I find is that with the people that I work with who have the greatest, I'd say the greatest challenges, these are the two main, if we could call them spiritual challenges that they're having or mental challenges. It is number one, that they've lost their vision. And number two, that they're completely lost internally. And so we can look at, again, the quote unquote most powerful people in the world, the clearest in the spiritual world, New Age world, and see that those individuals are where they are because of their connection. And so what do I mean by connection? So connection means, and this is why we hear about meditation. I teach a method called core journaling, which I've talked about before, and chanting, going for walks in nature on your own. Those are ways to connect with your, with that part of you that is the deepest element in you that you can imagine. And that part of us is all seeing, all knowing, all hearing, all feeling. It's connected to everything. And I call it your heart of hearts. And ironically, it's connected to everyone else's heart of hearts.
Right.
And so that's why when, let's say, you know, if someone who's really intuitive or in tune, they can tap into people really well. What they're really doing is tapping into their own heart of hearts really well. And that's tapped into the other person's heart of hearts really well. And that's how they know the other person so well.
Yes.
You know? And you know that for sure in your work. So, yeah. So the thing is that when we are connected to that part of us can guide us into what steps to take. That part of us guides us to whether we should go to the bank for a loan. That part of us guides us to what kind of material we should write in our copy for our flyers. In fact, I get some fantastic copy. I've been so blessed. I've gotten some incredible titles for my workshops. A couple of them where I was sitting in a cafe with a friend and this one title came out of the blue. The original term of this, the original title of this workshop was, and this is not the one that was Divine Inspiration. It's a long title. It was the power, this is my very first workshop. The power of synchronicity in connecting with what you truly desire. Okay.
Okay.
Nice title, but a little bit long, you know, not good on promo material. And so I was in a cafe with this friend of mine and we're talking and all of a sudden I got it just like that. How to become spiritually stirred, not shaken.
Nice.
Isn't that nice? and it was such a fun, and I'm a James Bond fan. So that was such a great thing to come at the time. And so that became the new title for that workshop. In my, intuition and psychic development workshops. It used to be, I don't even remember what the title was, but the new title that came was, Are You Talking to Yourself Again? A seminar on developing your intuition, right? So, which is quite fun. So these came to me out of the blue and they're quite fun. And so, but all of that only came because I was connecting with my, with that deeper part of myself.
Right.
In fact, they say, and even done research into this, that entrepreneurs, business owners have the greatest instincts on the planet. And typically it's because we have to. It's a survival mechanism. If we're not tapped into our instincts, we're in big trouble. So over time, business owners and entrepreneurs develop that connection.
And do you think the instincts and intuition are the same?
Good question. I do differentiate between them. I call instincts more of a biological mechanism, whereas the intuition is more an etheric, spiritual level. Mm-hmm. I find that instincts are more instinctual. So to me, that's more biological and genetic.
Right.
Yeah. And they can be fused a little bit. I mean, fight or flight. The question is, what is that? Well, there's a fear element there. So that combines both the biological and the ethereal to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I do differentiate between those.
Yeah. Right.
So, so the idea is that if we're connected to our inner self, as some call it, your higher self, your inner being, inner wisdom, many different terms for mm-hmm. it, that will always lead us to the next place that we need to get to or that we want to get to. And I find that that is at your beck and call. It really is. You simply need to express what you're wanting, and it will help to guide you to that thing. There are some people that this is an interesting spiritual or mental concept. People say that the universe challenges me, or the universe challenges them with troubles and so on. And I find that that's not really, hasn't been my experience. I find the universe is pretty neutral, and it is always supporting us 100% either way. So if anyone's really challenging us, it's ourselves. You know, so I just wanted to say that, because if you're going through any challenges in your life or with your business, it's not the universe challenging you or trying to get you to learn something that you have to learn. That would imply a very judgmental and difficult universe. And somehow just inside, it doesn't feel right to me. At least that hasn't been my experience. So
it also suggests that you can be a victim and that somebody else has control over us.
Absolutely. Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point. So ideally, we would turn that around and say, no, I'm in charge. This is what I desire. Now, universe, can you help to guide me there? And then the universe will guide us there. And then we follow that or we don't.
Yeah. So we're either, again, creating or attracting through default or because we're in control. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So this
in alignment.
In alignment, right. Yeah. And so this is the beauty of running a business. The more aligned we are, the more our business flows. The less aligned we are, the less business flows.
Yeah.
So now that's a tricky thing, because sometimes we think we can get attached to how. So let's draw another diagram.
Okay.
So I'll do this. We're all getting our exercise with our stick diagrams, or at least that's what I'm doing. Not an artist quite yet. So we draw another dot, different diagram.
Uh-huh.
Draw a dot next to that dot to the right. Connect those dots with a line. We'll label the left dot A and the right dot B, and we have line AB.
Okay.
Okay. So A is where we're at now. B is where we want to get to.
Mm.
B is maybe perhaps your ultimate vision, prosperity, wealth, loving relationship, romance, travel, whatever it is you're desiring. And A is where
you're at. I think that's what pretty much, 95% of the population is desiring there.
I thought I'd tap into that percentage. And so glad that you agree with that. Hopefully they're all listening right now. If not, they should. So if you are listening to this now, make sure the recording will be available and send this to all your friends. So we're at A and we want to get to B. And so the thing is, we assume that the best way to get from A to B is the shortest distance.
Hmm.
We assume that that is how we should get there. But that may not be the actual best way for us to get there, because, in fact, there is another way to get from A to B that is not along that line. It's a totally different line that curves all over the place, goes all over. It will take about 80 years or 50 years or 30 years to get there. But along that way, we are going to experience the most wondrous, magical things. And so it's about us letting go of thinking that we need to go from A to B the way we think we should, and being open to the fact that it's not really about the B.
Right. It's the journey.
The journey, right. You got it.
There's so many people that say that.
I know. I want to make sure I didn't say it. I'll let you say that one.
You just want to slap them.
I know. So, and actually, I say it's about the journey and the destination. It's about both.
Well, you know, really, it's about enjoying the journey.
It is, absolutely. You know,
because if you can't have fun on the journey,
right,
once you get to B, it's not going to be fun.
It's irrelevant. Yeah, Well, and think about this. When we have challenges in our business, what's going on? We're focusing on the destination, the fact that we haven't reached it yet.
Mm.
So in fact,
we're trying to control.
So if we want to, actually, you can shift instantly. If you're either running a business or you're working for a company, you're having challenges, all we need to do is look at where your attention is and notice it's likely on the end goal and say, just bring it into what you're doing now and have a bit of fun. And you'll see you can shift your energy instantly. So that's the idea behind this concept of maintaining your interconnection, because your interconnection will always lead you from A to B in the exact way that you need to go that serves your whole self, your whole being.
Right.
And so that's why that key is relevant.
Cool.
So again, some of the ways to do that are through meditation. Some people, and by the way, meditation does not need to be a 1 hour or 6 hour event like the Dalai Lama might be practicing. Meditation can be a 10 minute thing. It can even be 1 minute. In fact, if you reach a state of clarity that is talked about in meditation, if you are in that moment of clarity, you're in a state of timelessness. Why do you need to practice for 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're in it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I had meditated once and, well, several times, but this one specific time that I meditated, what I recommend doing is having a timer, and you set the timer for 10 minutes. And I only recommend going for 10 minutes. And I prefer to lie down. It's more comfortable. As long as you're not going to fall asleep. If you're going to fall asleep, don't lie down. Make sure you sit or go into the yoga position, the lotus position.
Well, the lotus, but you know, cross legs, good.
Cross leg. Yeah, that's good too. And so I remember I had closed my eyes and I opened them and only a minute had passed. And I thought 10 minutes had passed. And it showed me the state that I had achieved when I was in that zone, that it felt like 10 minutes had already gone by. So it's amazing what can happen in the meditative state. So meditation, core journaling is another way to connect with our deeper self. Core journaling is a method that I teach that involves writing down a question and then being open to receiving the response.
Right.
And it actually develops the muscle of doing that. It's profound exercise. And the third would be chanting. And it could be the Om chanting that you hear about. It could be harmonic overtone chanting. It could be any kind of chanting that involves you repeating something either over and over or in one sound so that it allows your mind to come to a stiller or more still point. And when your mind gets to that still point, if you can imagine your words of a sentence streaming across the sky, there's a little bit of space in between each of those words in that sentence. And imagine the space between those words increasing. So when we slip into a meditative state, we literally slip into that space between words. I think someone had called it getting into the gap at one point. Mm. And so this is getting into that gap in the space between them. And as it opens up, you go into that state of timelessness. Osho has a great meditation. I love this one, where he talks about paying attention to when you're breathing in and when you're breathing out. And notice the point between which you're inhaling and exhaling. So don't focus on the inhalation or exhalation. Focus on the point where you shift. And then focus on the point where you shift the other way, where you're exhaling and then you inhale. And he says timelessness exists in that point.
Right.
So very neat. Mm-hmm. That was a profound exercise I read from his book, The Book of Secrets.
Mm.
So that is how one would develop an interconnection. Of course, I'm a little biased. I recommend working with a life coach, specifically a synchronicity coach located in Toronto, Ontario. I'm teasing. That's me. I'm teasing. But I do recommend working with people like Laura, you, me, and others that facilitate others going through these kinds of processes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not easy to do it yourself. And it can be much more efficient and effective and simpler to have someone else lead you through the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I recommend to people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend having a coach and a mentor. And this is specifically for business as well. A coach is someone who helps guide you through what you're experiencing. And a mentor is someone who's already doing what you want to be doing, who's really successful. And so if you can find someone, pardon me, likely in not in your city, but in another city outside of there who doesn't feel like you'd be competing with them, who could perhaps become a mentor for you, that would be a great thing to do. Now, I will add that if you're core journaling or you are connecting to that, your deepest self, you will not need a mentor or a coach because that deepest part of you is already tapped into all things anyway.
Right.
But most people are not tapped into that. So hence, it's useful to have a coach and a mentor. It takes a lot of desire and persistence and discipline, I believe, as well, to tap into that. And so not everyone has developed themselves to that extent.
Right.
So.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's key. I think, you know, too many of us feel we have to do it on our own. And, you know, that kind of limits how we.
Absolutely. And 1 + 1 = 11. Right. We think it's 2, but it's actually 11. You know, the two of us together achieve much more. I have so much fun when I come. I could do this on my own in a way, but sure. I have so much fun when I come here with you. I keep coming back. I'd come every day, but I think you kept me out the other. I kept knocking on the door. You haven't let me in. So you finally let me in today. But no, just teasing. But
I know.
I do feel that when we join together with others that we connect to are of like mind, like spirit, then the two of us together creates much more than we would on our own.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Exponential rate. So, mm-hmm. And a couple of the other concepts, and this is, to me, this is one that's occurred recently that I've come to more clarity on, and that is selfishness, the idea of selfishness.
Mm.
Selfishness, I believe, is underrated and misunderstood.
Definitely.
And I actually, you know how I receive quotes. So I receive these beautiful quotes that are spoken to me, and I'm happy to share others with you, but the one that came about selfishness was this. Selfishness is ironic, as sometimes we need to be more selfish in order to... I kind of mix that up. Sorry, everyone. So, when I get the quotes, they come, and then I hear them, and then that's it. So I don't get a chance to write them down. Selfishness is ironic, as sometimes we need to be more selfish in order to give more to others.
Hmm.
Right? So true.
Mm-hmm.
And so... the key is really being okay with being selfish. And in fact, this gets really interesting because there's some religions totally based on the opposite. They say, do not be selfish. It should not be about you.
Well, that's because there's a judgment made about what the definition of selfish is.
Exactly. And so the interesting part is meditation is selfish. Chanting is selfish. Core journaling is selfish. These are all things that you're doing for you to help connect within you. And the key is to be okay with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. Just like there's nothing wrong to charge $100 an hour for your services or $5,000 for a piece of artwork that you create. There is nothing wrong with that. It is all A-okay. And the universe says, so I'm a universal translator. The universe is saying it is A-okay. Okay. So the key is that we typically resist ourselves so much and judge ourselves that we hold ourselves back and we don't allow ourselves to express ourselves to our fullest extent. And that's why selfishness was even created in the first place. If we were honoring ourselves, we wouldn't need to be selfish.
Right.
You know? So this is an important element when it comes to offering products and services as well, because in order to give to others, you must be whole within you. In fact, a common analogy that is offered by many speakers, colleagues of mine, and one that I share, is that when you're in an airplane and the cabin loses air pressure and you have a child with you, who are you supposed to put the mask on first?
Yourself.
Yourself. Why? Because if not, you're both done. You're both done.
Right.
And yet most people would say, no, 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 not me. I'm going to put it on them first, take care of myself after. And then we're both cooked.
Mm-hmm.
I had a session with a client today. She's an amazing woman. And what she had an experience recently where she had a major health issue, caused her to have an organ removed. Mm. And she, I know. And now she's opening up so much, which is wonderful. It took her to go through that, but now she's awakening. It's beautiful. And she's always used to giving, 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 giving. And this is also a female, very feminine thing. So many women, those of you, the women that are listening, want you to take heed with what I'm saying. It's a very common, it's a motherly thing to want to nurture. And it's a very feminine quality is to give love. But there's another side of that coin, and that's to receive love as well.
Yeah. They think, they, you know, there's that theory that, you know, to, if you give, you receive it. That's not true.
False. False.
Well, the universe may be.
Right.
Receive, or, you know, maybe giving back to you. You just, if you're not open to it, you're not getting it.
Absolutely. It will be on your doorstep. You won't even see it.
Right. That so, check of $1 million, it's been waiting for
that's
you.
That's right. It's right there. Don't you see it? Don't you see it? And it has lights glowing too. Yeah. You know, I still don't see it.
Yeah. Diamonds all around it.
Yeah, exactly. Pearls.
Gold.
Yeah, that's yeah. right. Gold. Mm-hmm. Silver coins. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that it takes a little bit to learn how to be selfish. It may even be better.
Well, men
to,
are really good at it.
I think I stepped into that one. How did I step into that one? Well, it's an interesting concept because the question is that a good thing or not a good thing, right? And that could be actually a good thing. Can you imagine what they would be like if they didn't do that?
Well, see, that's the thing. The men have to balance out all the women that are giving. They need to be able to, they receive so that there's the balance. But
absolutely.
So the men need to learn how to give and women need to learn how to receive.
When I speak with women, most of my clients are women. Of course, I've had all girlfriends, and I find that if you were to ask, and you can even answer this yourself, the men that are most attractive are the ones who give, who are loving, who are nurturing at a deep level. We're talking at a deep level. And those who are they're confident, they're clear in their masculine energy, but they're loving and giving. And that means that they must be clear within themselves. It means that they must have at some point been clear enough or taken the time to connect within themselves, or that they do it consistently enough. And so,
but if you're a woman that's always giving, 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 you're not going to find a male.
Exactly. And that's like the challenge. That. Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge. It still goes back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to this diagram again. So again, we look at the diagram and say, well, why are men not loving me? Or why are women not loving me? And say, are you loving yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are you even open to that? And that's where the shift happens. We could say the same. Let's talk about business. Do you have clients that love you?
Of course.
I know you do. That was a given. I know you do. But the key is...
Oh, that wasn't to me.
Oh, that okay. wasn't... No, that's okay. That's okay. I'm glad you answered it, though. I'm glad because you reaffirmed what I was wondering and what I had a feeling of. And so, but the key is, do you appreciate the clients that you attract? Are the people that you're attracting aligned with what you're wanting? And if they're not, then you need to look at you and say, well, what do I need to shift in me in order to create that?
Right.
So again, that's how this all comes back to this reflection. And we're talking about kind of infusing spirituality in through business.
Mm-hmm.
So another key, this is a profound one, and it's somewhat related to the ebb and flow, is, and this is something that most parents can relate to, hopefully, and that's being okay with falling.
Hmm.
Or as we might say in business, failing.
Oh, that.
Yeah. And most people are not comfortable with that. I was teaching recently at a college here in Toronto, and there were a whole group of students, and I had asked them, are there any hockey players in this room? And there was one male in the whole room. It turned out he was a hockey player. It's kind of funny how that worked out. And I asked him, how many, you know, are you comfortable with falling on the ice? And of course, this is a ludicrous question for a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, of course. And I said, how many times do you think you fall in a game? And of course, probably about 40, 50 times, depending on how scrappy they are. And so he said, of course, I'm totally comfortable with falling. And I said, of course. Now let's see if you can do that with business.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we tend not to do. We tend to say, no, I will not fall, nor will I let myself fall. I must get it perfect. And by the way, now we're touching on a keyword, control. Mm-hmm. I will control every experience I can so that I do not fall. I don't speak from experience on this one. Just teasing. So, and in fact, when I was younger, when I was a child, I was always afraid of falling. So I never learned how to ice skate because I was terrified of hurting myself. Mm-hmm. And then as I grew up throughout life, I didn't want to hurt, you know, I didn't want to fall because when I had fallen, I really hurt myself. And this is an ironic point, a really interesting point, because when we're not good at falling, when we're not practiced at falling, when we fall, it's rough. Mm-hmm. It is a rough fall. So I say, practice falling a little bit, have some fun with it, get good at it, get dirty in the art of falling so that you can learn how to, and this is the next key, pick yourself back up. And one of my favorite quotes comes from, of course, I watch a lot of movies, and some of them are quite cheesy. But this one is the Batman film that was out recently.
Okay.
Not the most recent one. The one with Christian Bale, the first one that he was in.
Okay.
Batman Returns, I think, or Batman Begins. That's what it was. Batman Begins. And you see the scene of him falling down a well as a boy, and he had broken, I think, an arm or something like that. And his father's a doctor. I say he's taking his son up now. He's helped his son out of the well, and he's walking up, and he says to his son, "Why do we fall? So we can learn to pick ourselves up." And so I can tell you that every single one of the top entrepreneurs in the world has fallen an enormous amount of times. Enormous. Many of them have been bankrupt many times. And they got right back up again.
Yeah.
And they got right back up again. One of the most powerful scenes I've seen in any film was in the most recent Rocky film. Lori's cringing. But actually, you know, this film was a drama, not an action, really. It was a profound film. In fact, I recommend everyone watch it. It's not a blood and gore film like some of his other ones. Yeah. And profound film. Truly profound. And there's a specific scene in this film where he's speaking with his son. If you've seen the film, you know what I'm talking about. And it really is about falling and getting up. And having the courage to get back up again and get back up again. And after a while, we realize there's really nothing that big about falling in the first place.
Right.
And I believe to a certain degree that is a spiritual experience also. It's to learn to be what it's like to be human and fall and get up and experience the joys and sorrows of all of that. And that's how we then look at applying that to business as well. We have a tough year, tough 2 or 3, 5 years. That's okay. If you're keeping your attention on your vision and you're learning from these falls and you're getting back up, you're moving forward. The key is to learn from them and be okay with that happening.
Right.
Again, be a hockey player in business. You know. So, and I would say those are mostly the keys that I think are important for kind of combining spirituality and business and living spiritually through your work. So to recap, because I know we're doing well, actually.
We are.
I always go over, you know that. Yeah. I'm truly blown away at the fact that I'm actually on time today. So to recap, they include, there's always an inflow. There's no particular order. Having an inflow and outflow and realizing that's always going to be that way. So being okay with the inflow of business, the outflow of business, the lack of business, the rise in business. It's even doing that in life. There's always going to be relationships that flow in and the relationships that flow out. That is a natural part of how we are in existence. That's the law of attraction as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the other is that anything that we experience in business is a reflection of ourselves internally. Any challenge we have with finances has nothing to do with finances themselves. Money is not the root of all evil, and money is not even really alive. Okay, it comes from trees, yes. It doesn't grow on them, it comes from them. But the thing is that money doesn't really, in a way, have a consciousness to it.
Right.
And so it's how we look at it that creates a consciousness about it.
It's our beliefs.
Yeah, our beliefs, our perceptions, our values, etc. So anytime there's a challenge take it back to you and ask, what is this reflecting back to me about me, and how can I shift that within myself? The next one is having clear vision, focused vision. The next one is being selfish a little bit more often, which I know is very difficult for some, even to go away, to treat yourself. I remember my family, my mother was always the kind that would always spend on herself. My dad would always, his clothes would have holes in them before he went and buy it. That may be a male thing, I don't know. But I know that he was, and so he would always hold back and not really enjoy himself. Right. And so, and whereas my mother was totally the opposite the other way. Now they were both out of balance, by the way. Right. There's somewhere in between that's a nice fine line. But honoring yourself is really important. And mm-hmm. allowing yourself to be selfish sometimes. Mm-hmm. Being okay with falling and getting up is the last point that we talked about. And overall, that sums up, I think, the idea of how we can blend in, at least to a certain degree, spirituality in with business, and start to see that really they are the same thing. Right. So like our fingers are an extension of our arm, which is an extension of our body, our business is an extension of who we are.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. And you're recommending, or you're suggesting, that people at this time, due to the way, you know, there's not really jobs being created, that, you know, to start creating your own, or to start looking at your own.
Absolutely. Now is, I believe, probably the best time in the past 70 years.
And that's 70, not 17.
Exactly.
Or 7. Yeah.
In the past 70 years for starting a business. There are many people who, I just gave a talk about a month ago for a group of senior level managers and executives who have been let go from their jobs and are now looking to regain employment. But the thing is, there are freezes all over the place. So most companies, and even now the government and schools and education, are not hiring, many of them.
Right.
And so the thing is, these individuals are still looking for these jobs, still putting all this time into that. And even though it is possible the economy will improve, and hopefully it does, I think now is a great time to start pursuing something that you are truly passionate about and turning that into a business. And you can make, one of the beautiful things about running a business, about having a business, is two major benefits about having a small business. Number one, you can adapt instantly. The reason why all these large corporations are having major trouble is because they are so big, they can't adapt quickly enough.
Right.
As a small business owner, you can adapt almost instantly. The other slipped my mind, but it was a good one. Just like quotes come and go through me. That one came through me too. What was I going to say? Oh, anyway, it doesn't matter. So you get the idea. So the first one's good enough. And I know I'm a little biased because I'm a business coach as well. But there are so many simple things that you can do. Oh, this is the other point. Thank you for supporting that point coming through, is that as a business owner, your income is nearly unlimited. Whereas if you work for a company, your income, although seemingly secure, which we know many people are saying is not true, is capped. Mm-hmm. So as a business owner, you can, whatever you are open to creating, you can receive from as well. So if you're open, if you want to create great wealth, you have great possibility to do that through your own business. So these are two great reasons to pursue that. And I realize some people have fear about starting a business. So I also recommend, and again, I mentioned I'm biased. I recommend working with a business coach, whether it's me or someone else. When I started my business, I had no business skill. I had logic, which helped me to a certain degree, but I didn't have the forms that I use now. I didn't have the business acumen and understanding, and that has helped me enormously. And so that's why I recommend to people to have a business coach. So about 2/3 of my practice are entrepreneurs, business owners. But again, for all of them, we talk about all this energy and spirituality as well. And we bring it into everything I've talked about today is what I would share in my coaching sessions. So,
right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a free coaching session that we can continue doing to ourselves.
That's right. You got it.
Yeah.
Keeps giving.
Well, Joshua, as always, you're a delight.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And again, I'm sure we will have you back.
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely.
Cool. Is there any lasting gift you'd like to suggest?
Well, there's a couple things. You're welcome to, on my website, I write a newsletter. And that's it's a great way to receive free complimentary information that is inspirational and really relevant to what we're talking about today. And so this is a newsletter that is a weekly newsletter that I haven't sent out in about 2 months. but I will be consistent coming up. Again, like Twitter, mm-hmm. lots of things happening. So you can go to my website, which is really easy, which is www.joshuazuchter.com, which is JOSHUAZUCHTER.com. And on the bottom left-hand corner is a little box where you can put your first name and your main email address you want me to send this to. And it's all automated, by the way. So you just hit subscribe, you get an email, you'll have to accept it if you want it, and then you'll start getting the newsletters as soon as they come out. So that's one thing. I'd say overall, just know that you can do it. I've seen, you know, I always have, it's funny, I have many clients who say, oh, I'm going to be a lot of trouble for you. I've got like $55,000 debt, not sure what I'm going to do, but I want to get this business going. And I tell you, I've heard that so many times, and I tell them that is nothing. $55,000, $40,000, that is nothing. And there are people, I have other clients who have lots of wealth who don't have debt, and they're still worried about losing all the money that they have. So everyone's in the same boat. The key is to start it. Don't wait. Don't try to analyze it. Step into it now.
Yeah, they say this is, you know, it's now or never.
Absolutely. It's a great time to pursue what you love. Mm-hmm. And why not do it and receive reward for doing it? That's the exchange. It's you giving to the world what you were created for and you getting something back for that. Mm-hmm. That's the beautiful exchange of things.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.